Brothers and sisters, or family, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. Come on. All the single guys just said, I love the Bible. This is so awesome. Seriously, you know, we don't live in the Middle East where the custom to this day is to greet a close friend or a family member with a kiss on the cheek. Cheek, guys. It wouldn't even help you that much anyway, all right? You're like, I'll take whatever I can get. We don't live in that kind of a society, but still, the idea behind this command, it stands. My guess is that if Paul were writing a letter to the church in Portland in 2015, he would end it by saying, greet one another with a holy hug or whatever, you know, like the classic Christian side hug, whatever the male-female thing is, whatever. The idea is that, hey, we're family. We're brothers and sisters, and so we are to greet one another like family, with warmth and with affection. That's how we are to do life together. And then listen to what Paul goes on to write next. I charge you, because this next part is a command, before the Lord, okay, that's heavy, to have this letter, what we now call 1 Thessalonians, read out loud to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, be with you. Over the last 4 months, we have gone through this letter line by line, learning and thinking and wrestling and doubting and believing and praying and hopefully by now living into every single word. And we do this because we believe this letter is more than just ancient mail from a first century guy named Paul to a kind of church fledgling startup in Thessalonica. It is that. But we also believe that it's scripture, that it was written by Paul to the Thessalonians, but at the same time, it was inspired by the Holy Spirit, by God himself. And even though it was written to the Thessalonians 2 millennia ago, at the same time, it was written for us as followers of Jesus all over the world and down through history. So as we read it, we believe, as followers of Jesus, that we read Paul's thoughts, but we also read God's thoughts. We read Paul's commands, but we also read God's commands. We read Paul's words to the Thessalonians, and at the same time, we read God's words for you, for me, for us. So this Labor Day weekend, to wrap up the series, we want to mix things up a little bit tonight and kind of skip over business as usual. What we call 1 Thessalonians, most of the time we call it a book, but as you hopefully know by now, it's not actually a book at all. It was a letter. And usually how we experience the Bible is either alone. You know, I get up every single morning, open my Bible, make a cup of coffee, Chemex, and go up to my study and close the door, and that's my time. I love it. It's usually the highlight of my day. So we usually experience the Bible all alone, or we hear it out loud in a teaching at church or on a podcast on your morning run or whatever it is. And that's great, but the problem is that when you teach the scriptures, you have to break it up into a manageable chunk. Like, we can't teach the whole thing all at once. And so we end up with, you know, a line here, a line there, and then we attach a kind of 40-ish minute lecture with a little bit of oomph to it or whatever this is that we do up here every week. And that's not bad at all. We have to do this because we're reading a letter that was written 2 millennia ago on the other side of the world in Greek, not even in English, in a radically different kind of worldview. So stuff that was obvious and axiomatic to the original audience, if you were a first century Thessalonian, is just not anymore to you and me. So we have to work at it a little bit more. And that's fine. The problem is that this letter was designed to be read out loud in one sitting to the church as a whole. So when we read it all alone, or when we hear it all together, but still we hear a chunk here, a chunk there, you know, a couple of verses there, a couple of verses here, we miss out on the full experience. But now that we have spent the last 4 months learning this letter from the ground up, we are finally ready to experience it as Paul intended. So tonight, all we are going to do, there's no teaching, all we are going to do is read through this letter from start to finish out loud in one sitting all together as a church family. Does that sound all right? Yeah. I hope so, because I have no teaching ready to go at all. So it's that or good night, you know? Now, a few thoughts before we read. First off, you know, this is going to feel just a little bit weird. which, I mean, we're not an oral culture. This is not even how we usually do church. So just embrace the weirdness, settle in. It might, maybe or maybe not, will feel a little bit odd for you for a couple of minutes, but then just settle in and let each word and each paragraph and each chapter kind of wash over you. Secondly, I would just encourage you to focus, you know, put away your phone, which is great advice always anyway, and open up your Bible or your notepad or whatever and just really clear your head, focus in anything you can do to engage your heart and your mind, your thinking and your feeling. Don't check your email or skip off or, you know, let the mind wander, but really engage. Third, I would say remember all the things that God has said to you over the course of this series. So I sat through last hour, and I'll do it again with my notepad open, just writing down what I remember. Like, oh yeah, I forgot God said that whole thing to me about make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. That was like a really, Alex did that teaching, and I remember that text, and I just was chewing on that text for weeks and weeks and weeks. And it's easy to have it go kind of in one ear and out the other, right? So remember what God has done in your life over the last couple of months and write it down if you want or whatever and really just take stock of it. And then finally, I would say listen twice as we read this. Listen to 1 Thessalonians as it's read out loud from the stage, and then listen to the Holy Spirit speak, because God's never done speaking. And I bet you there's more that God has to say to you, to your missional community, and to Bridgetown Church as a whole. All right? So, that said, turn to chapter 1, a couple of pages to the left. And Christy, wherever you are, come on up. We have a couple of people that are going to read through the letter for us tonight. Christy is going to start. And let's pray before we jump in, all right? God, thank you. I just want to start by saying thank you that you're a speaking God. You're not silent, that you're close by, you're not far away. Thank you for the scriptures that we have as a compass and sometimes even as a map to navigate life and to move deeper and deeper into the kingdom of God and in the end to resurrection itself. Just thank you that we have this anchor, God, and just this turbulent, crazy, all over the place world with all of the isms of world religions and secular humanism and naturalism and just all the stuff that's just floating around every single day. We just thank you for this anchor that we have this to hold on to. We have you to hold on to. We thank you for revelation that we have a worldview, a way not only to live, but a way to see the world, a way to wake up in the morning. And I pray that the scriptures would continue to shape us into the image of Jesus so that we can participate in what you, Jesus, called the kingdom of God. So even now as we read, would you move by the Holy Spirit and would you catapult and propel and push and pull this church, myself included, and all of my friends and family deeper into the kingdom of God and the heart of Jesus. Amen.
Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. You welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell us how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath.
You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God who tests our hearts. You know we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else, even though, as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority. Instead, we were just like young children among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And we also thank God continually because, when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed a work in you who believe. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own people the same things those churches suffered from the Jews, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and also drove us out. They displease God and are hostile to everyone in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last. But, brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again. But Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy.
So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you, and our efforts might have been useless. But Timothy has just now come to us from you, and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have present memories of us, and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now, may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones.
As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more, for you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, and as we told you and warned you before, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. Now, about your love for one another, we do not need to write you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do this so more and more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of the call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words.
Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good, reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.